The truth in that song. It's been a while since the ladies have sang that, and I sure am glad that the Lord led them to sing it this morning. You have your Bible open to the book of Habakkuk, and I'm going to ask you to turn back to chapter 1. Don't know how much you've read through the book of Habakkuk or studied through the book. We studied through it as a church some time ago. Through the minor prophets, most of them. We didn't go through every one of the minor prophets, but we chose several of the minor prophets and just went verse by verse through the books through the years. And I remember studying through the book of Habakkuk. And this week, as I was thinking about, well, what this week is, it's a time where a lot of people's minds and attention is centered on Thanksgiving, the festivities of Thanksgiving. And I thought about, well, some of you, and even some things in my own life. Sometimes it's not easy to give thanks. It's just not. And some of you may be in that place right now. Maybe you've lost a loved one. I thought about the dear folks. I mentioned them this morning in Sunday school. The dear families of those three young men whose lives were taken down at UVA. As I read of the mother whose son survived and how she was just giving thanks. I thought of the parents of those students out in Idaho, and you just think of the Trowell family, you think of that dear family, and there's people, there's many things that we know about, there's many that we don't know about. There's a lot of hurt in this world, and sometimes when we think of Thanksgiving, there may be those who say, I really have very little to give thanks for. But I beg to differ with that. I'm certainly not minimizing the hurt. I'm not minimizing the hurt. I'm not minimizing the sorrow. I'm just saying that sometimes our perspective needs to be honed a little bit. And as I thought of that, I thought about this book. How much do you know about the book of Habakkuk? What do you know about the man Habakkuk? Habakkuk, it's a prophet of God that was contemporary with the prophet Jeremiah. We all know about Jeremiah. He's the weeping prophet. Very, very few of us know much about Habakkuk. The very word Habakkuk means to embrace. That's what his name means. And I think it's very significant, as we shall see in just a moment. It means to cling. And so here was a prophet of God that was living in a time very similar to the time in which we live. As a matter of fact, when you study the time and the history of Israel during the time of Habakkuk's prophecy, even when you study Habakkuk's prophecy, you see that days were dark. Times were perilous. And here was a man that prayed, trying to live right, like many of you. Or should I say many of us? Here was a man who couldn't understand. You know, why are these things happening? Where's God? Is God still on the throne? Why is God allowing this? God, when are you going to put a stop to this? This is Habakkuk's claim. As a matter of fact, if you are hesitant to take what I'm telling you at face value, let's just read what Habakkuk said. I mean, Habakkuk said, God, he starts out the burden. You see that in chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. He said, listen, he said, mine eyes have affected my heart. I'm looking around and I'm seeing all of this stuff. And I'm burdened and I'm concerned and I'm even worried. Is God going to step in and do anything about any of this? He said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? You see the exclamation mark? Here's a man that is moved. This is not some passive request. This is a man who is moved deeply by what he is seeing and experiencing, and he doesn't understand. And he's essentially saying, God, I don't understand. I want you to explain some things to me. The first thing that I see as I read chapter 1, I want you to write this down. I hope this will stick with you for a while. I want to teach you how to have a good Thanksgiving. So, well, we were already going to have a good Thanksgiving. We're going to have turkey and dressing, cranberry sauce. You still have cranberry sauce, don't you? Amen. Amen. All right. We got some folks who know how to eat in the house. Amen. Yeah. Macaroni and cheese. Now we're on to something. You know the fixings. You know the format. But brethren, that's not Thanksgiving. That's just part of what we do to celebrate Thanksgiving, and there's not a thing wrong with it. Okay? So don't come to me and tell me not to eat any turkey. I'm going to eat it and go to sleep anyway. I want to get serious with you, okay? I want us to get some help this morning. I always want us to get some help. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit up straight in your seat. Go ahead, do that now. And I want you to promise yourself something. I'm going to listen to the preacher, because he's got a message from heaven. And I need some help this morning. And if I don't need some help, there's some people I know that do. And whether I'm the one that's going to get help this morning, or I'm the one that's going to get help so I can help somebody, I'm going to believe God's going to help me, going to give me something that'll make sense out of what's going on in this crazy world in which we live in. And brethren, it is crazy. Amen. It is spiraling out of control. Who would have ever thought in our lifetime that we would be confronted with some of the things that we're confronted with today? And yet, as I look back in history, I see that, well, ours is not the first generation that's being confronted with many of these things. Evil is running its course. I want us to think about the presenting of the problem. The problem that Habakkuk presents in chapter 1. Let's look at it. You see where he said in chapter number 1, verse number 2, how long shall I cry? That's from a burden. That's saying, God, I'm moved. I'm moved with a burden. I see some things. I don't like them. I don't understand them. I want them to change. I'm praying about it. God, would you do something? But it doesn't end there. There's a second time that the word cry is used. I challenge you to look it up in your concordance, study the word, and you'll find it's a completely different word, because I want you to look at the way it said, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. This is frustration. This is Habakkuk screaming at God. God, when are you going to do something? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. You know, we hear a lot of preachers sometimes, if I'm not careful, I'll be guilty of it myself. God's people need to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of God's people are praying. God's people haven't quit praying. Habakkuk was praying. He said, God, I'm praying, but nothing's happening. And that really concerned him. What's going on here? Maybe you're that way this morning. We're praying, we're living right, we're supporting missionaries, we're having family devotions, we're trying to raise our kids right in a mixed up world. What's going on, God? When are you going to do something? That's what he's saying. Maybe you feel that way. I could understand if you did. I think there's probably at times all of us feel a little bit this way. What's going on? Began to name some of the things that was really disturbing him. I want you to see if this sounds familiar to you. Why dost thou show me iniquity? God, I can't turn somewhere where there's not sin everywhere I look. Billboards, walking down the street, television, social media, it's everywhere. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? That word means trouble and toil. God, it just seems like on every hand there's trouble. For spoiling, that's plundering. You know, when people don't like what's going on, so they just run into the towns and they throw stuff through the windows and they start taking stuff that because they think that I'm empowered to take it. That's what the word spoiling means. It means plundering. You know, to the victors go the spoil. But to the little crybabies go the spoil too. To those who think, well, I have a right. I don't have to respect the business owners. I don't have to respect the community. I'll go in there and take that. I'm empowered. I'm privileged. Now, you are a thief is what you are.
Amen.
And he said, I don't like what I'm seeing. It infuriates me. Where's justice? This is what Habakkuk's crying. When's God going to do something about this? God, you're in charge. When are you going to do something? Well, I tell you right now, Habakkuk wasn't looking to the White House to do anything.
Right.
Or whatever color the house was in his land.
Right.
I'm going to show you why here in just a moment. He said, spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. He said, it just seems like everyone has an agenda. Let's just turn everybody on everybody. Let's just bite and devour and fight and fuss and argue over everything. Now, if we're not careful, this is the way we'll live our lives, just like this right here. We'll fall right here, brethren. This is not the way life is, God intended life to be lived. Say amen with me now. Trying to help us this morning on really having a real good Thanksgiving. How can that happen? Well, first of all, you've got to admit, there's a problem. Brethren, there's a problem, and it's not just in America. There's a problem worldwide. And Habakkuk identified it, and he said, listen, I've been praying about this, and I know there's others praying about it. You say, preacher, I've been praying, and I've been fasting. And so I don't want to stand up here and pretend that we don't have a group of praying people. Fellowship Baptist Church is one of the most praying churches I've ever been a part of. There's people who pray, who care, who want to do right. And yet, we're not seeing a whole lot happen with the physical eye. I want to make that very clear. So I don't think God's at work. Oh, you don't understand God. See, God's at work whether you can see it or not. I've said it for years, brethren. God is a God of activity. Amen. God's at work whether you realize it or not. God's at work in your life. You say, well, I can't see it. It doesn't mean he's not working. Amen. God is always active. God is never inactive. God's always turning wheels. That's right. And so he said here, he said, I'm concerned. Look at verse number 4. He said, therefore the law is slack and judgment doth never go forth. You see that word slack? It's a very interesting word. It means paralyzed. Got more judges than we've ever had. More lawyers than we've ever had. Now listen, if you're a judge or a lawyer, if you're watching today and you're a judge or a lawyer, you have somebody in your family that's a judge or a lawyer. I'm not saying they're not important. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we have more than we've ever had. More courtrooms than we've ever had. And less justice than we've had in many, 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 many millenniums. Amen. The law's slack. The law has no teeth in it. That's right. And there's a reason for it. We're going to see in just a moment. And it's not just to the law. It's even crept its way into the church. You see, the anarchy that's in the world has presented itself as apostasy in the church, brethren. There's a moving away. And we need to be aware of it. Habakkuk was aware of it. And he said, God, he said, we're praying about this and we're concerned that these things are happening. I want you to hold your place here. I told you that Jeremiah, go to the book of Jeremiah. Now, you'll have to turn back toward the front of the Bible a few books to the major prophet Jeremiah. Okay? I want you to find it. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Now, remember what I said about Jeremiah. You've already forgotten, haven't you? He was a contemporary with Habakkuk. What's that mean? That means that he was prophesying at the same time Habakkuk was. Habakkuk gives us one side, but Jeremiah gives us another. God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? And so if you'll read Jeremiah chapter 5, we're just going to look at a few of these scriptures, okay? In Jeremiah chapter 5, look in verse number 30. Jeremiah 5 and verse number 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. We've got people who say they're preachers lying to the people. So the politicians are not the only ones that are lying. You can say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. We got folks saying, listen, it's okay to ordain homosexuals, sodomites in the ministry. No, it's not.
Amen.
Amen. It's okay for people to shack up and live together before they get married. No, it's not. No, it's not. You quit lying to those people. You're going to stand before God one day. I'm not up here being mean. I'm telling you what the Bible says, brethren. It's about time we get back to what thus saith the Scriptures. See, you can't be thankful. You can't get a proper perspective until you realize that what God said is so. It doesn't matter if we agree with it or not. It's what God says. It's so. Sex before you get married is wrong. Say, well, the preacher down the road, I don't care what the preacher down the road said. God said it's sin. Amen. I want to tell you something else. Sex while you're married with someone outside of your marriage is sin. It's sin. I don't want to learn pronouns. If you're a female, you're a woman. If you're a male, you're a man. Amen. Well, you know, preacher, we ought to change that. Well, Jeremiah said, those prophets that are prophesying that, they're liars. They're liars. Well, it's not important to go to church. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's what God said. Oh, I know about these preachers. Yeah, that preacher's up there preaching against sin. And I tell you, he's a bully and he's a tyrant and he's a control freak. He might just be a Bible preacher and you haven't realized it yet. Amen. Get off those websites. Well, I signed up to Fundamentalist Anonymous. What do you want to do that for? You're a Christian. How about signing up to church and getting in it? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what we need. That's right. I'm just telling you what Jeremiah said. The day that we're looking at today where there's weak, spineless preachers, it didn't just start back in 2000, brethren. Jeremiah said, look at verse number 31. He said, the prophets prophesy falsely. And he said, the reason they do it is because the priests want to bear rule by means. In other words, they want the money to keep coming in. So we're going to tell you whatever you want to do is okay. Cut my paycheck, but I'm going to tell you what God says. Amen. That's right. I will hold my tithe. You don't give your tithe to me anyway. You're giving that to God. Can we turn this back to Thanksgiving, please? Trying to help you. See, until the problem is identified, you're not going to really understand how to be thankful. Jeremiah was facing a problem. All right? And so was Habakkuk. And Jeremiah said, look at it now. He said, the priests bear rule by their means. In other words, people's practicing preacher worship. You didn't meet here to worship me. You made here to worship God. And if a prophet's a liar, call him out. Call him out. That's right. But see, they wouldn't do it. You know why? Look at what the scripture says. Jeremiah, he just laid it bare. He said, my people love to have it so. They like it that way, where anything goes. I want you to excuse their sin so you won't point out mine. Yeah, that's the day we live in, brethren. Man get up and preach against sin, people say, well, I tell you right now, he's just one of them control preachers. He's a bully. Well, not if he's preaching the Bible, unless y'all do it in the right spirit. So see, this is what they were facing. Look at the latter part of that verse number 30. It says, and what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about these preachers telling lies and won't preach the word of God and won't stand up against the sin of their day? I'm not saying, listen, those of you who know me, I'm not a mean-spirited person. I know for some of you that's up to for debate, but I'm not a mean-spirited person. But I'm going to preach the Bible, brethren. The Bible's the Word of God. I'm not going to change the Bible because a group of people decide that they want to be live in the pleasure of sin. Turn over to chapter 8 just for a moment before we get back. You say, can we please get back to Habakkuk? Well, it gets worse now. I just want you to know. I'm just telling you what the problem is. But when Habakkuk said, God, I want you to not be silent. I want you to tell me. And God said, okay, I'll tell you. And then Habakkuk said, well, I kind of wish you to stay silent because now it's worse when you spoke. And that is what happened. We'll see that in just a moment. Look in chapter 8 of the Jeremiah. Look at verse number 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Or are people ashamed? When a man dresses up like a woman and wants to be called a woman, is he ashamed of himself? Well, he ought to be. But he's not. But he's not. I mean, what people used to kind of slink in the back alley and duck and dodge and hide, now they strut down Main Street. Look at me. I'm liberated. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Look at again at verse number 12. It says this. It says, are they ashamed when they have committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Some folks can't even blush anymore. All manner of sin on all manner of media. We've lost our blush. We're not ashamed of anything anymore. Nothing's wrong. As a matter of fact, if you say something's wrong, you're wrong. The only thing wrong is calling sin, sin in our day, it seems to be. Is that right, brethren? So let's go back now to Habakkuk. I hope you held your place there and you don't have to find it again. You say, I thought you said you wasn't mean. You're going to make me find Habakkuk again. You made me lose my place. So here's what Habakkuk's saying. He's saying, God, I know you see what I see. Look down in verse number 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord? You see Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Now God's showing Habakkuk some things. Look at verse number 13. Thou art of pure eyes to behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. I know you see what I see, God. Look at what else he said. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, look at this, and holdest thy tongue. God, how can you see all this and stay silent? You're holding your tongue. It's got me infuriated. I'm screaming out, God, what you gonna do? It's about time somebody screamed out something, amen. He said, God, when are you gonna do something? You're holy and righteous and pure. And you see what I see. You can't be okay with this. But yet you're not saying anything. And then Habakkuk threw something in that really shows us where he's lost his moral compass. And this is one of our problems. Look, if you would, the latter part of verse 13. When the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he. See, if we're not careful now, and now I'm going to lose some of you here, but I don't mean to. I want to help you, and I want you to, if you slip down a little bit during that little span of the message, set up straight again, because I want to help you right here. See, if we're not careful, we'll think because we're Republicans. You say, well, I'm not a Republican. Well, I'm getting you in a moment. Because we're Republicans, well, we're better than those old Democrats. Now, I want you to read the latter part of verse number 13, because it's exactly what's going on in our world today. We're more righteous than them. Isn't that what Habakkuk said? How can you let this happen to your people? We're more righteous than them. You're not righteous at all.
Amen.
See, people get... We've set the bar too low. The standard's too low. We're measuring ourselves against Democrats. Don't do that. And if you're a Democrat, I'm measuring myself against Republicans. Don't do that. Folks mixed up in both of them. Say amen. Brethren, I've seen this, and it's verified, it's well known, but I think it bears repeating. I'm not for elephants or donkeys. I'm for the Lamb. Amen. The Lamb of God, amen.
Amen.
I'm for people of righteousness. Amen. That's right. And if we're not careful, listen, the old devil will have us thinking, well, I'm this, so I'm better than them. No, you're not. Listen, I'm a Baptist. Well, thank God for Baptists. Amen. I'm one through and through, but I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved by the grace of God. Somebody say amen with me. Baptists have flaws too. If you don't believe that, listen, you are in a mess. And so Habakkuk, listen, he was mixed up, and he said, I see some of the problem. And God said, you don't see it all. And Habakkuk's just talking and screaming out, and he's saying, God, I want you to do something. And God said, I am going to do something. Look at verse number 6. He said, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans. And the enemy's going to come, and they're going to take you into bondage. And this is where Habakkuk said, whoa, I think I'd rather you stay silent. Now, what's God saying here? He says it's going to get worse before it gets better. You say, preacher, are you saying that this morning? Well, I'm saying it probably will. I don't know, but it probably will. Now, you say, well, I want God to tell me what's going on. God owes me an explanation. Well, look at verse number 5. He said, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. Are you there? You're in chapter 1, verse 5. He said, I'm going to do a work in your days. All right? And he said, the work that I'm going to do, you won't even believe it. So you can say, well, God, I want you to explain to me what's going on. God said, I'm not going to do that. He said, even if I did, you wouldn't believe me. You won't even do what I've told you to do. We got a bunch of folks living in disobedience who want God to tell them what to do. You talk about an oxymoron. Right? I'm not doing what God said to do, but God tell me what to do. Amen. What? That's the world we live in today. It is. I hear it all the time. And if I'm not careful, I'm part of the problem. And so we really need to get a hold of this. Habakkuk is perplexed. He's in problems. He doesn't understand. He said, I'm praying and nothing's happening. Hey, this kind of sounds like where we are today. I mean, there's violence. There's all kinds of sin and iniquity. It seems like the devil's winning. The enemy is getting ready to pounce on God's people, the Chaldeans. And Habakkuk saying, God, I know that you are pure eyes. I just know you're going to do something. Get those bad people. Amen. That's what he said. And God essentially said, now we're going to move to chapter 2, and it's going to start turning. Right here's where it turns, to where God's going to teach you how to be thankful. God's going to teach me how to be thankful. He said, I know you're not thankful for what's going on in the world. But that's not what you need to be focused on. Now, you do need to be concerned, but that can't be where your focus is. He said, you need to, I started to say shut up, but I'm not going to say that. He said, you need to be quiet. And you need to quit talking, and you need to start listening. God say that? Did he say that? Let's see. So we move from the problem, now God's going to give him perspective. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I'm going to listen. I'm going to quit talking. I'm going to quit shouting and screaming at God, and I'm going to listen to God. You need to know what God has said. Amen. Can I tell you that most of the problems in the world is because people have quit listening to what God has said? Even in our churches, brethren. Even in our churches. In my lifetime, I can remember when men used to stand up, when Sharon and I first got saved, and they would stand behind the sacred desk of God and preach, thus saith the Lord. And I've watched it go from, thus saith the Lord, what saith the Scriptures, to, well, I read in a book where it says this. I'm not concerned about what some book says. I want to know what God says. And then it's gone from thus saith the Lord to what I read in some book to now in our day it's kind of like, well, you know, the way I see it, I'm not concerned about the way you see it. I want to know what God said. Say amen with me, folks. We have been lulled to sleep. We have lost perspective. If I went to a church and all somebody did is got up and read out of a book, some commentary, and said, well, now I'm going to give you what I think. It wouldn't take me long to get up and be gone. I want somebody to open up this book and preach what thus saith the Lord to me.
Amen.
We need to know what God said.
Amen.
What God say, preacher? God said, you need to start listening. Look what he said. He said, you need to start reading. Verse number 2. The Lord answered me. I'm glad. You know, I've got to throw this in there, okay? I want you to get the picture here. Here's Habakkuk. He's screaming at God. He's got a burden. He's saying, God ought to understand. You owe me an explanation, and things ought to be this way, and I can't believe you're allowing this to happen. And instead of God going, which could have, God listened to him. Boy, if that don't tell you something about the grace of God, I don't know what will. God listened to this man. Can I tell you, God will listen to you when you get out of sorts too. God's listened to me when I was out of sorts.
Amen.
Aren't you glad he does?
Thank God.
Amen. God will listen to you. God listened to this prophet. He was very patient with him. And instead of just, you know, Habakkuk knew what he had coming. How do you know that? Well, notice if you would, in the latter part of verse number 1, he said, I'm going to wait and watch and see what he was saying to me when. When I shall answer, or when I am reproved. God's going to reprove me. And God began to tell him, Habakkuk, you're going at this wrong. I want you to listen to me, Habakkuk. Spend time in my word. Sit down and listen. Quieten down. Go find you a secret place. Look at what he said now in verse number 1. I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. Going to find me a place where I can be alone. I'm going to listen to God. I need God to give me some insight here. Brethren, this is what we need now. There's a lot of noise out here. And we need to be quiet. We need to be still and know that God is God. And hear what he says. Let's read on. He said, the Lord answered me. And here's what he said. He said, write the vision. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an explanation. He said, I'm going to show you something, Habakkuk. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables. Why? That he may run that readeth it. God said, you need to start reading some stuff. What you need to read? What I say. God said, I'm going to say something, and you need to read it. Can I tell you, God has said something, and we need to read it, brethren. Amen. We're running without reading. Notice what he said now in verse number 2. He said that it may be plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. There's a lot of running, a lot of activity, a lot of physical exercise with a lot of without much spiritual insight. He said, you need to get in the Word of God. I need to get in the Word of God. Amen? And so he said, first of all, there's a problem. And then he said, I'm going to tell you what the way this problem can be settled. And he begins to say that you need to get into the Word of God. You need to find you a place where you can just really focus on who God is and what God has done and what God's plan is, and you need to know some things about God. And he said, the first thing you need to know, look at verse number 4, chapter number 2. I'm eager to get to the end here, but I want you to listen. He said in verse number 4, look at the latter part of that. He said, the just shall live by his faith. I find it very interesting that this is where Paul quotes from in Romans chapter 1 when he starts listing that, you know, that long list of things about sodomites and lesbianism and anarchy and all the things. He said, you know what? In Romans 1:17, he said, the just shall live by faith. This is where it's at right here. You need to get outside. Now, I'm not saying don't vote. Somebody's going to leave here and say, well, the preacher's not for politics. I'm for politics. But the answer is not the government. The answer is the gospel.
Amen.
The answer is the gospel.
Amen.
The government doesn't change man. The gospel does.
Amen.
Amen. Don't get caught up in that. Listen, I'm for it. I vote. I've had candidates here. We'll have them again.
But I want to stay focused on where and what the answer is. Amen. The answer is the gospel.
Amen.
The government's never changed any man.
Right.
For good, for the long haul.
Right.
The gospel has, though.
Amen.
You get changed by the gospel, brother, you ready then. Amen?
Amen.
The gospel. That's why before Paul got into all that stuff in Romans 1, he said that it's the gospel of Christ. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's what we need. I'm ready to preach unto you that are at Rome. Preach what, Paul? The gospel. Why? Because that's the answer. So don't you get, listen, you look around the world and you see all this trouble and all this violence and all these things that are going on. This anarchy and all the spiraling out of control and churches full of apostasy. You just keep living by faith.
Amen.
You just keep doing what you know to be right.
Amen.
You just stay in the Word of God, amen. You just keep witnessing for Jesus. Don't you give up on what's going to change somebody. It's the only thing that'll change people, brethren.
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
He said, the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk. Quit looking. You're affected by what you see. Quit looking and start listening. Get on your face before God and say, God in heaven, give me a strong faith for these perilous times in which we live.
Amen.
That's the need. That's the answer, brethren. That's the answer. Before I get to the final chapter, I'm not going to go in detail, but I want you to know something, because I don't want anybody leaving here saying, well, God's light on sin. God is not light on sin. We live in a world that paints God as some kind of genie or mother goose. But that's not the God we serve, brethren. Verse number 6. Look right in the middle of verse number 6. Woe to him. Verse number 9 of chapter 2. Look there. Woe to him. Verse number 12. Woe to him. Verse number 15, woe unto him. What are you saying? Verse number 19, woe unto him. Well, God said, listen, I'm not light on sin. Sin will be judged, sin will be punished. You let me take care of that, Habakkuk. Now listen to me, folks. You let me take care of that, Habakkuk. You just keep living for me. You just keep proclaiming my word. You're a prophet, not a judge. You keep proclaiming my word. You run after you've read and get that message out there. And you tell them who I am. And don't you forget to tell them some things about me. What's that going to be? Look at verse number 14 of chapter 2. He said, Habakkuk, don't forget now. There's a time coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Now, in these final 5 minutes, how can I have a good Thanksgiving? Don't you forget. Don't you forget what God has in store. Oh, I know the world around us seems to be spiraling out of control and everything. Seems like God's not on the throne and God's lost control and now the devil's taking over. Well, God told Habakkuk, he said, hey, don't forget now, there's a better day coming. It may get worse before it gets better, but in the end now, if you're one of mine, there's a better day coming. Amen.
Amen.
He said, one day, the whole earth is going to be full of my glory. Amen. Yeah, you stay fixed on that a little while and you'll be skipping around the house. Say amen with me. You'll be skipping around the house praising God. Look at verse number 20. He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Where's God at? On his throne where he's always been. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God hasn't changed.
Amen.
God's in his holy temple. That's where he's always been.
Amen.
And so it looks like God's lost control. What looks like is not always so.
Right.
That's why the just need to live by faith and not sight.
Right.
Because God's not lost control. And he's reminding Habakkuk, I'm not light on sin. I'm going to take care of sin. I've got some things coming that I want to let you know about. I want to remind you, Habakkuk, this life is not all there is. And that I'm still on my throne in my holy temple. Look at verse number 20. He said, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Amen.
Amen.
So don't you be asking God or telling God what to do. God knows exactly what to do. Amen. I want to close with this. Chapter number 3. We go from problem to perspective to praise. He said, I'm going to tell you what. Look the way chapter 3 begins. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. Say, preacher, what does that word mean? That sounds like something. It's a musical term. I really don't know exactly. I mean, I have searched and searched, not just this week, not even in the last couple of months, years. I just know it's a musical term. Could be a musical instrument. It could be a musical expression, which means with passion or with emotion. And so here's what he said. You ready? He said, Lord, I've heard your speech, and I'm afraid. Lord, I just want to ask that you would revive thy work in the midst of the years. God, do something. It's not them. It's us. See, this is the perspective he got. It's not them. He didn't say, God, I want you to change the world. I want you to change all those out there doing violent things and taking innocent lives. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? I mean, it's terrible. But yet it's so. He said, God, I right here, revive what? Thy work. You following now? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of all that's happening, God, don't let us lose our focus now. Don't let us lose our focus, God. Don't let us take steps backwards here now. You see what he's saying? Look at it. It's very important. God, keep us straight. Keep us focused. Help us understand, Lord, what's going on here. You are in control, and we're a part of what you're doing, and so we pray you would revive thy work in the midst of the years. And then notice what he said right after that. He said, in the midst of the years, make known. He said, I want to see your power. Make some things known. I want to see you move. God, I know you're at work. I just want to see it. I just want to know it. I just want to be a part of it. And then he said this. He said, in wrath, remember mercy. Right? See, brethren, the judgment needs to start right here. Right here. This is where judgment begins. So what's that got to do with being thankful? Well, he said in verse 17, it was read in your hearing, he said, though times are bad, I'm going to paraphrase. All right? Look at it. I'm going to paraphrase for you. Though times are bad and we're building back better, gas is about $5 a gallon, my grocery bill has doubled, I can't even go into a place of business now. I'm not reading anything here. I'm just speaking from what I've experienced. Can't even go into a place of business now where they have enough help. People won't work. The government's keeping them up. The IRS is targeting Christians. There's a bunch of God haters around the world. And there's just as many in this country as there are in any other country. Amen. Christians have lost their burden for souls. It's almost a burden to go to church. Of course, if you go hunting, you can't wait. Or to a ball game, you're up early and at them. But church, TV's raising our kids. Social media is dominating our time. And I don't know that I've ever seen it as bad as it is. Yet, he said. Yet, I'm going to make a choice. And this is a choice I want you to make. He said, I'm going to have a good Thanksgiving. Is that what he said? Look what he said. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to complain against the prices. I don't like them, but I'm not going to complain about them. How's that? Well, we'll see in just a moment. Just stick with me now. I'm not going to buy into all this stuff and all this negativity. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on the Lord. Amen. That's what he's saying. He said, you know, there's a lot of things I could complain about. And he said, here they are. He said, the fig tree shall not blossom, the fruit in the vines shall not give neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat. He said, there's a lot I could complain about, but instead of that, I think I'll just praise the Lord. How about you? Now, have a happy Thanksgiving. A lot of things in the last couple of years has come our way. Hadn't it, brethren? I mean, it has. Our families, your families, some people's health, our economy, our government, our world. And we could just sit around and twiddle our thumbs and say, woe is me, and sing the blues. Or we could just do like Habakkuk and make a choice. It is a choice.
Amen.
He said, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy, look at verse 18, in the God of my salvation. That's where it's at. Well, my time is up. I wish I could go on. But I do want to give you this final thing. So how am I going to do that, preacher? How am I going to do that? Verse 19. Because the Lord is my strength. That's how. And by the way, he closes by this. He said, hey, you chief singers and those on the stringed instruments, keep it going. Keep it going. Don't lose your song. Amen. He said, don't lose your song. Don't you let them take your song. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you let them take your song. They're after your song. The redeemed has a song. Don't let them take your song. So I want my singers and my instrumentalists, just keep it going. Amen.
Amen.
I like the way the book of Habakkuk closes. Would you stand with me? Say, preacher, how am I going to have a happy Thanksgiving? I've had this and this and this and this and this happen, and all this is going on in the world. And, you know, I can't deny it. You can't deny it. It's so. It's there. I'm not asking you to deny it. I'm not even asking you to turn a blind eye to it. I'm just asking you to make a decision. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to meet with my family, an extended family, and look at them and say, boy, I sure am glad that God gave me children. And I sure am glad that God gave them good spouses. And I sure am glad that God gave them children that I can call my grandchildren. Now, we could meet and we could talk about the gas prices. If you bring up the gas prices at Thanksgiving, we're kicking you out. We could meet and we could talk about how much the food that's being cooked cost. You'll never guess how much I paid for a turkey this year. If you bring up the price of the turkey, we're kicking you out. Don't want to hear any of that. It's not going to change what you paid for it. Don't let him steal your song. The devil's going to try to steal your song. Some of it, he's already stole it. He's taken mine before. But I sure am glad that God gives a second chance.
Amen.
And a third. Don't let him steal your song. Let's bow our heads together.